Please turn with me to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. But our focus will be on verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 1 to 4, and our title this morning is Great Apostasy and the Gospel Age. Great Apostasy and the Gospel Age. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. The Bible reads, "Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Amen." Last Sunday, we began looking at the indicators of the second coming of Christ. We began looking at the signs of the end of the world. And we saw that Christ doesn't tell us the exact time of his coming, but he has revealed the signs, the indicators of his coming, the indicators of the end of the world. And one of the indicators, as we saw last Sunday, is the preaching of the gospel to all the nations. The gospel must be preached to all the nations before the end comes. And I believe personally that the gospel has been preached to all the nations. The end is therefore near. The coming of Christ is approaching. We should be ready for that day. We should cleanse our clothes. We should repent from our sins. We should also preach the gospel with urgency. And we should do that with urgency because the gospel age is coming soon to an end. When Christ comes, the gospel will not be preached anymore. Let us therefore take the preaching of the gospel as an issue of emergency. Let us persuade our friends and our relatives who are still lost in their sins. Let us share the gospel with our colleagues and our schoolmates. Let us tell our neighbors the good news of salvation. This is the time for preaching the gospel. Tomorrow may be too late. So if you know someone who is still without Christ, pray for that person and share the gospel with him. Consider it to be a matter of urgency. The gospel age is coming soon to an end. So the preaching of the gospel is one of the signs, is one of the indicators of Christ's second coming. It is one of the indicators of the end of the world. And today, my dear friends, we are going to see another indicator of the second coming of Christ and the end of the world. And that indicator we are going to look at today is great apostasy, or the falling away. Towards the end of the gospel age, so many people will fall away from the faith. many people will fall away from the Christian faith. And that is what we call great apostasy. When many people fall away from the faith, that we call great apostasy. Let us read verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Here the apostle says, "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day, the day of the second coming of the Lord, that day, the day of the end of the world, will not come unless the rebellion comes first." And in other versions it says, "Unless apostasy comes first. Unless the falling away comes first." That's what it says. "And the man of lawlessness is revealed." The man of lawlessness here is the Antichrist. So here, Paul is telling Thessalonian Christians that no one should deceive them concerning the time of Christ's second coming. In the previous epistle to Thessalonian believers, and that is in 1 Thessalonians, Paul wrote that the coming of Christ will be sudden. That's what he wrote to Thessalonians. He said that the coming of Christ will be sudden. He also wrote about the necessity of being prepared for that day. But it seems that Paul's message was misunderstood by believers in Thessalonica. The word "sudden" sounded in their ears as immediate. When Paul said that the coming of Christ would be sudden, believers in Thessalonica understood that Paul meant the coming of Jesus Christ will be immediate. That's how they understood it. So the way they understood Paul's message affected them greatly. There is no doubt that they were comforted to know that Christ was coming immediately. I believe that they felt good. They were comforted. Our Lord is coming soon. He's coming immediately. Maybe within few weeks, few months, he's coming. But although they were comforted, some of them were very much shaken. And they were shaken to the extent of stopping working. A good number of believers in Thessalonica stopped working. They said, "Christ is coming soon. So we cannot continue working. We cannot continue doing this and that." They stopped working. They were troubled. They were panicking because they thought Christ's coming was imminent. Perhaps they spent the whole day in prayer and fasting to prepare themselves for the second coming of Christ. And they did that because they misunderstood the Word of God. They were misled by the way they interpreted the words of the apostle. The cause of their agitation was doctrinal error. But Paul asked them not to be shaken and troubled as if the day of the Lord had already arrived. That is what he tells them in verse 2. He says, "Not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word, or a letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come." Paul is telling them, do not be shaken, do not panic, as if the day of the Lord's coming has arrived, has come. We can also misunderstand the Word of God sometimes. And there are many who have a wrong understanding of the biblical teachings of the last days. many believe in doctrinal error. And when we believe in a doctrinal error, we become shaken and troubled sometimes. We sometimes become shaken to the extent of losing reason, to the extent of losing the ability to think rationally and logically. There are, for example, so many Christians today who are shaken in this period of COVID-19. There are many Christians who say a lot of things about COVID-19. Some of them refuse even to wear masks because of the doctrinal error they have believed concerning the end times. They say that they cannot wear masks because masks are satanic and they prepare people to accept the mark of the beasts. Many Christians are shaken and troubled because of that doctrinal error. They see the Antichrist and the mark of the beast in everything and everywhere. And that is how Thessalonians were shaken also. But Paul told them, let no one deceive you in any way. That's what he told them in verse 3. Thessalonians were being deceived. They were being led astray by their erroneous interpretation of the word of God. They were therefore warned not to allow themselves to be misled, to be deceived, and to be alarmed in any way. And why did Paul warn them not to be deceived, not to be alarmed? Paul gives the answer in verse 3. He says, for that day will not come unless the rebellion, unless the falling away, unless the apostasy comes first. You see, they were alarmed because they didn't know, they didn't understand very well the signs of the second coming of our dear Lord Jesus Christ, the signs of the end of the world. And here Paul is telling them, don't panic, don't be deceived. The coming of Christ is not imminent as you think. A number of things have to happen before He comes. And among the things that have to happen before He comes is apostasy. Apostasy has to come first. The falling away, the open rebellion against God has to come first. Paul was telling them, Christ will not come before the falling away comes. And what is the falling away the Apostle Paul was talking about? As I have said before, the falling away or apostasy is the falling away from the faith. The falling away from the Christian faith. So many people who profess Christ will abandon their faith before the day of the Lord comes. And here the apostle was not trying to say that true believers we are going to fall away. No, true believers are not among those who will fall away. Genuine children of God cannot fall away from the grace of God. Those who will fall are those who profess Christ but have never known Christ. Those who claim to be Christians only because they were born in Christian families or because they were baptized and so on. People who will fall away are people we call false brothers. They have identified themselves with Christianity, but they have never been born again. The principle of life has never been planted in their hearts. Those are the people who will fall away. And some of such people have been abandoning the faith throughout church history. Since the beginning of the church, there have been always some people who have abandoned the faith, the Christian faith. But when what the Apostle Paul is saying, that what will happen before the coming of Christ, is that this falling away will be on a large scale. Many professing Christians shall stumble. Some will openly say that they are no longer Christians. They don't believe in Christ anymore. That's what they will say. We do not believe in Christ anymore. But others will still keep the name of Christ while rejecting His word. During the period of great apostasy, there will be many false Christians who will hold on to that name. We are Christians, but they will deny the word of God. They will reject the word of God. We are Christians, but we don't believe in the word of God. We don't believe in what is written in the Bible here and there. And many false prophets shall arise, and they shall deceive many. A large part of the visible church will forsake the true faith. Many churches will tolerate or accept sin and worldliness. Is it not what we are seeing, my dear friends? We see churches accepting homosexuality and the killing of unborn babies. Many churches are even saying that only some part of the Bible is the Word of God. They don't acknowledge the whole Bible to be the Word of God. They say that only part of it is the Word of God. I have heard pastors, some people who call themselves pastors, they say that Paul's epistles are not the Word of God. I remember when I was still going to sports school, one of my teachers, who is the wife of a priest in the state church, who told me that the words of the Apostle Paul are not the Word of God. And that is why they accept homosexuality in the church, because Jesus Christ said nothing about homosexuality. And so because Jesus said nothing about it, they are free to accept it into the church. These things are happening even today. A big number of people profess Christ are falling away. Worldly music is imported into churches. There are so many churches today who have become very worldly in their worship. They have imported worldly music into the churches. And false gospel is preached everywhere. We hear prosperity preaching and motivational speeches in many churches. They tell people, when you come to Jesus, you will never be poor anymore. You will become rich. You cannot be sick anymore. You will prosper in every sense of the word. And others say that if you claim, you pronounce something again and again, then you will have it. If you need a big house, begin to say it, big house, big house, big house, again and again, and finally you will have that house. That's the preaching we are hearing in so many churches today. The word of God is no longer preached in many churches. Is it not the falling away, my dear friend? it is the falling away. That is apostasy. It shows us that history is moving towards the second coming of Christ. We should therefore be on our guard. We should avoid to compromise in any way. Let us remain faithful to God's word. We should not give into the pressures of this world. Let us remain firm. Let us hold to the traditions taught by the apostles. Hear what Paul says in verse 15. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, "So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letters." Here Paul is telling Thessalonians, hold fast to what we have taught you, by word or by our letters. Hold fast to that. Do not add anything to that. Do not subtract anything from that. Hold fast. So, my dear friends, let us hold to the traditions taught by the apostles. If we don't remain vigilant, and if we don't hold fast to the apostolic word, we will become apostate. We will fall away from the truth. So, my dear friend, we shouldn't entertain this idea that every church is a church of God. We shouldn't entertain that. We should be looking. Does that church hold fast to the teachings of the apostles? Does that church separate from sin and the world? Is the word of God preached in it? And if those things are not there, we shouldn't even associate ourselves with such kind of churches. Churches that have imported worldly music, we shouldn't associate with them. We should be vigilant, my dear friends. If we are not vigilant, we will find ourselves falling away from the truth. And my dear friends, there are two things that will characterize the great apostasy. There are two things that will characterize that period of great apostasy, of falling away. And one of those things is false security and gross materialism. This is something that will be common during the period of great apostasy, the period of falling away. During that period, many people, including those who fall away, will be very materialistic. People will be more concerned, people will be more preoccupied with material possessions than spiritual things. People will be more concerned with physical comforts. That will be their concern. To go on holidays all the time, spend quite a lot of money on that. That will be the concern of many during the time of great apostasy. People will be more preoccupied with the acquisition of wealth than spiritual progress. People will work hard to have a superior car. People will work hard to have a superior house, superior sofa, superior clothes, and so on. And many will think that their lives are safe when they have more material things. They will seek their security in the things of this world, in material things. The Bible says that it will be just as it was in the days of Noah, and just as it was in the days of Lot. That's what the Bible says in Luke chapter 17, verse 26 to 33. During this period of great apostasy, things will be like in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. People will be eating and drinking. People will be marrying and being given into marriage. People will be farming and building. People will be doing things as usual. And all those things are not wrong in themselves. But the problem is that the souls of many will be entirely taken by those things. People will be very much preoccupied with the eating, the drinking, the marrying, the farming, the building, and they neglect their spiritual needs. Is it not what is happening today? Is it not what we are seeing today? A big number of people who claim to be Christians are very much taken by the things of this world. They even neglect their spiritual needs. We are all witnesses of this. We all see this every day. And you are perhaps one of the people who mainly think of the things of the world. You may be one of those who are preoccupied with the things of this world. You are perhaps more concerned with the things of this world, the eating, the drinking, the clothing, the building, and so on, and you neglect your spiritual needs. If you are one of them, my dear friend, repent. Repent. The things of this world give false security. They give false joy. They don't really satisfy. They will all pass away. You are also passing through in this world, but the word of God will not pass away. God will not pass away. Find therefore your comfort in God and His word. Seek your satisfaction in God and His word. Seek joy and security in God and His word. You should be more preoccupied with your spiritual well-being than you are preoccupied with the things of this world. The things of this world will pass away. The drinking, the eating, the marrying, Christ Himself says, those things will not be there when we leave this world. So, my dear friends, that is one of the characteristics of the great apostasy, of the falling away. People will seek their security in the things of this world. People will be very materialistic during that period. Are people materialistic today? That's what we should be asking ourselves, to know if we are living in the period of great apostasy or not. Are many people materialistic today? Are many people seeking security in the things of this world? What is preached in the main churches? They're preaching prosperity. They're telling people that as a Christian, you cannot be poor, you cannot suffer. You are entitled to have a superior car, a superior jet, a superior whatever. That is what we are living, we are seeing every single day. Another characteristic of the period of great apostasy is a sharp division. A clear division, a clear distinction between true and false Christians. During that period of great apostasy, there will be a very clear division, a very clear distinction between true and false Christians. During that period, many false Christians who have abandoned the faith will still want to be identified as Christians. But their lifestyle will clearly show that they are not true Christians. Many will excuse their sinful lifestyle. They will say we are under grace and not under the law. We can live as we want. We can acquire as much wealth as we want. We can live as we want. We can do whatever we want because we are under grace. We are saved by grace. We are not under the law. And many of those people will be against preachers who denounce sin and worldliness. When they hear a preacher preaching against sin and worldliness, they will hate that preacher. And they will say quite a lot of things about that preacher, criticizing that preacher, and perhaps insulting that preacher. Many of them will be critics of believers or churches that teach and apply the biblical doctrine of separation. Believers who say, no, I can't conform myself to this world. I have to separate myself from sin and the world. And churches who teach that, Christians who fall away, will criticize those believers. They will criticize those churches. They will hurt true biblical worship. They will hate it. They will say, oh, there is not good music. I cannot go to that church. It is boring. I cannot enjoy that kind of worship. It is old-fashioned. That's why. That's what the people who fall away from the faith will say. They will rather love contemporary worship. Worship that mixes Christ and the world. That the kind of worship they will love, they will enjoy. They will seek entertainment in worship. But true believers, on the other hand, will hold fast to the faith of fathers. They will hold fast to the teachings of the apostles. They will strive to live sanctified lives. They will grieve whenever they sin against their God. They will continue to separate themselves from sin and the world. And that will make a clear division between true and false Christians. That will make a clear distinction between true and false Christians. It will be very easy to know who is true Christian and who is not true Christian. Very easy. False Christians will indulge themselves into worldliness, but true Christians will separate themselves from the world. So that will be the distinction, the division between true believers and false Christians. But true Christians will be a minority. There will be a minority. There will not be many of them. False believers, there will be in a majority. There will be a majority. But although true Christians will be a minority in terms of numbers, they are a majority because they are on the side of God. they are a majority because they are on the side of God. Let us therefore stand for the truth. Let us be on God's side. Let us do God's will no matter what. We shouldn't care much about what people say about us. We shouldn't care about what they do to us. We should only care about what God says and what God does. We should also know that those who fall away will begin to persecute those who remain firm. I'm just introducing this. This is what we are going to see next time. There will come a period where those people who fall away, people who profess Christ and they fall away, they will begin to persecute true believers. They will perhaps unite or side with the world to persecute true children of God. And the persecution of the children of God during the period of great apostasy is what we call great tribulation. Great tribulation. There will be a period where true children of God will suffer terribly. And that will be called great tribulation. That is what we are going to see next time. And the people who fall away will become a big and universal movement, which will be led by a very wicked leader. And that leader, the leader who will lead that big universal movement of the people who have fallen away, will be called the Antichrist. That's what the Bible called Antichrist. We are also going to see this next time. And that is why true believers should not be shaken right now. People are saying quite a lot of things about the Antichrist. I hear quite a lot of things today. But when you look at the people who are called the Antichrist today, they don't have the features that the Bible says. Because the Antichrist, as we shall see next time, will be a leader of the people who will fall away. False believers, they will still be called Christians, but they are not true Christians, and that Antichrist will be their leader. So the Antichrist cannot be an atheist, someone who proclaims publicly that he is an atheist. He will not be such a kind of person. But we are going to see this next time. What we should return today is that great apostasy must come before Christ comes. Great apostasy, the falling away, must come before the end of the world. And great apostasy is the falling away from the faith, the falling away from the Christian faith. Many people profess Christ will fall away. And we can see even here in Denmark, many believers, many people who claim to be Christians have fallen away. We are seeing churches being closed. We see churches accepting homosexuality. They accept abortion. We see that. Churches denying the Bible to be the Word of God. We see that. So I can say that we are living in that period. Maybe it is the beginning, and it will get worse and worse until when those who fall away begin to persecute true children of God. So that is what we can return today. Many people profess Christ will abandon the true Christian faith in large numbers before the coming of the world, of the Lord. We should therefore remain vigilant and continue to hold fast to apostolic traditions.
we should hold fast to the apostolic traditions. As believers, we are not called to be innovators, to innovate things, to change the way we worship God, or to just create our own kind of worship. We are not called to do that. We should hold fast to what the apostles have taught us. So that is what we can return from today. That is the great apostasy, the falling away. Let us pray. Our dear Father and our God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this word. We thank you, dear Father, for reminding us of this period in church history, the period of great apostasy that we are seeing beginning in this world today. There are so many professing believers who have fallen away and who are still falling away. We see this every day in our lives. And we pray that, Father, you will preserve us. We pray that you will protect us from that. Help us not to give in to the pressures of this world. Help us to hold fast to the teachings of the apostles, to the traditions of the apostles. Help us not to add, not to take away from what you've prescribed for us in your word, the Bible. May you help us to love Christ more than anything else. Help us not to be much concerned, to be more concerned with the things of this world than we are concerned with our spiritual well-being. We pray that this word, O Lord, will bear fruit in our lives and in the lives of many who are going to hear this sermon. We pray this, O Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.